I've always enjoyed the company of our brother. He really helped me a lot when I was in the Philippines when we had, what, how many, about 300? There was at least 300 people there gathered for the youth camp in the Philippines, and we got to be under a big, huge rotunda outside. And just as I was introducing him to speak, a downpour came, and it was on 10. And you can imagine, he didn't get a whole lot of talking in. It was so noisy, but we had an enjoyable time. And I know he's always willing to serve the Lord and to help wherever he can. And so I ask that you might consider the things in which has been impressed upon his heart to give to us this night. And I give you our brother and elder, Andrew Brown.
Yeah, you can if you want. If I remember correctly, that wasn't a downpour. That was just a deluge. I mean, it was coming down so hard. It was what you think of as a tropical type storm. I have a lot of thoughts on my mind tonight. If I had to classify this sermon of what type it is, a little different than I normally would deliver, I would consider it maintenance. Maintenance for you and I, and I wasn't sure how exactly I wanted to start, but the easiest way to start is just get started, so we'll do that. I want to read, starting in the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm not sure why this particular scripture was upon my heart this day when I started the thought process of really asking the Lord, okay, I got to preach tomorrow night. What do you want me to say? And sometimes I have scriptures and ideas, and in my own mind, I don't know how they fit together. But usually after the sermon is delivered, I see how they fit together. So that's all right, too. I got to tell you, maybe I'm just really naive, or I'm not sure, but I feel this way, as David did. There's struggles in life, but I'm here to tell you, my life is good. It's good. There's difficulties, and those of you that are getting a little older, you know there's aches and pains. I grab something and go to throw it up on my shoulder, and it's just not quite as easy if it goes up there at all. I don't like that. But life is good. I have joy. I have peace. I have love in my life. The Lord encourages me in my endeavors. I can truly say, my cup runneth over. As most of you know, Phoenix, Arizona is not my favorite place to live. It's hot here, if you haven't noticed. There's a lot of people. But I'm so thankful that I'm here. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to come into the house of the Lord and see people I know I can trust in, people I love and that love me. I'm thankful to come home from work, and when I open the door, there's little voices in my house. Some of them aren't as little as they used to be, but and they're happy to see me. You know, Harper runs up and gives me a hug on my leg. You know, that'll melt the gruffest old guy right down. Life is good. Life is good. My four beautiful grandchildren that live next door are always happy to see me. They like to swing on the swing. They know Papa will give them a cookie anytime. And I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I hope and I pray that each of you feel the same way. That you don't allow the struggles of life, the imperfections of those around us, the difficulties that are bound to come, physical, emotional, mental, they're bound to come. But we don't allow them to rob our joy, to deplete our hope and our faith in some life that's so much better. This is good, but I know what's to come is great. This is wonderful. The opportunities that I've been afforded in life, I cannot complain. But I know the next life will even be better if I'm just faithful. So as I come this evening, I have some burdens upon my heart that I want to share with you. But my desire is just exactly what I just stated, that you can see God's blessing. Is the cup half full or is it half empty? Has somehow life dealt you a bad card? Or did you just not rip it up and throw it over your shoulder and keep moving? Somehow we have to have the perspective that we are God's children and that we are blessed. I can look at your life and say you're blessed. Every person in this room, I could go around the room and look and know and recall the blessings that God has given every one of us. So don't let the busyness of life or the discouragements of life rob you of those blessings. Rob you of the joy that the Lord has given us. There's something I've been trying to teach my wife after all these years. So far it hasn't worked. But being a man and not thinking like a lady, I ask her to do me just one favor. Raise your hand and let me know when you change the subject. When you're talking to me and you're going to change the subject, raise your hand and let me know. And so I'm raising my hand and telling you I'm shifting gears here. When I was walking to church this morning, down the road, I was contemplating the service and thinking about partaking of the emblems, thinking about the Sunday school, but mainly about the sacrament service. And I'm mulling all that over my mind. And I feel like the Lord gave me a couple perspectives concerning that service. And then when I sat down here up front with Adam, just talked to him very briefly. And before he stood up, I had made up my mind that before we offered the prayer over the emblems, I was going to ask him to allow me to say something. Because I felt like the Lord had placed it upon my heart for the service this morning. And then he said the things he did. He said we were distracted. He said that we were, I don't know what all he said, but basically we didn't come prepared. And those were the very things that the Lord had placed upon my heart. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them tonight. Not all of them, but a couple of them. And so I, again, like I said, I really classify this sermon as maintenance. That we are... It's not that we're not allowed, it's not that we don't know what we're doing, it's just like anything else. Sometimes we just kind of get lax in our spiritual walk. Let me see if I can shift gears here. I want to talk about these few items right here. Being present where you are, distraction, self-justification, perception, and standard. First, I want to show you something else. How's that look up there? I took that picture yesterday. There are going to be a few pictures throughout this I took yesterday. And I want to share a perspective with you at the end. Some pretty little flowers there. Tiny, little tiny flowers. I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, and through a few verses. And it says, "And behold, one come and said unto Christ, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" That's the goal, right? Eternal life. Each one of us really desire the same thing, to live in peace and harmony with the Lord for eternity. And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Okay, we probably all could answer that one. And he said unto him, "Which?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, and shalt not commit adultery, and shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Uh-oh. Now you did it. Can you see that or no? Is it cut off? Yeah, just a second. Sorry. I was trying to squeeze too much on there and I knew it. What's the easiest way? This is when I need a technical support. Oh, now I've really done it. And so that's 21, right? Whoop, sorry. 20, so somebody have the scriptures open to verse 20? Are you there, Kim? Can you read 21 for me?
"Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me."
Thank you. Sorry about that. So he told the young man, you know, you got to go sell everything. You've done all these other things, you got to go sell everything. But the young man heard these sayings and went away sorrowing, for he had great possessions. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who shall be saved?" There's a lot of different thoughts concerning what this really means. Do I think that there's no rich man ever going to be in the kingdom? Heavens no. I'm guessing there's going to be quite a few of them there. If we look at some of the leading characters in the Old Testament, they were very wealthy, you know, and so it must be really saying something else, that where your treasure is, that's not where your heart is. Or perhaps this young man, knowing part of that answer, asks the question. But the real question for me is, how does this apply to us? What is there in our life that we're not quite ready to give up? For me, it's not money. I don't have to worry about that one. I don't have the money to start with. But I can guarantee you there's something lingering within my life that I'm just not quite ready to give up. So I want to talk a little bit about being present where you're at. This is going to be a tough question. Who can answer this? Easton, where are you? Where are you? Yeah, you're the only Easton I know in here. Where are you? Remember, I'm kind of deaf.
In this pew.
Very good. In the pew. Where's the pew at?
In the church.
In the church. Man, you're sharp. Are you present here? Do you know what the word present means? You're present, you're like if the teachers call and roll and say, are you present? And you say, here, I'm here. So if the Lord was taking roll right now, could we all say, I'm here? I got a little exercise I want to do. Gentlemen of the front row, would you please stand up? I'm going to shake each of your hands, and then I'm going to ask you a question afterwards, okay? Gage, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well.
Yeah? Good. How about you? Are you getting along all right, buddy?
Yeah.
All right. Logue, how's life treating you, man?
Treating me good.
Good?
Yep.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good? Yeah. Just good or great?
Great, I guess.
Good. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see if this backfires on me or not. Gage? From not knowing me in life, but just from that handshake, do you really feel like I was engaged with you? No, there's no wrong answer. How about you? You feel like I was engaged with you?
Felt pretty engaged.
A little lacking. Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
You looked me in the eye.
I looked you in the eye. I not only shook your hand, but I touched your arm with this hand. I was present with you. I'm guilty of this. Guys walk into my office all the time, and they're like, hey, Homer, I got a question here. I'm talking on the cell phone. Yeah, go ahead. What you need, man? Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, just go ahead and do that. That's fine. Thanks. I mean, 5 minutes later, I couldn't even told you who it was that walked in there. So I hope I told him to do the right thing. And so how does this relate to us? Are you present where you're at? Is your focus on what we're doing? Or is your mind wandering? Easton, what did you think about did you see the little flowers up there yesterday? So when I see those flowers, I'm like, whew, the ranch was really pretty yesterday. It'd be easy for me, my mind to wander. As I came in here this morning, I thought, you know what? I'm fighting a good fight today. I'm going to stay focused on every prayer. Even though I have a hard time hearing some of them, I'm going to stay focused on the testimony. You know, a couple of our sisters gave testimony this morning. I had a hard time understanding what they were talking about because I could hear them, but I couldn't understand the words, mainly because I didn't have my hearing aids in. But nevertheless, I'm still here. I'm still present. But when I begin to allow my mind to wander upon what I got to do tomorrow, I better check my cell phone right quick. Somebody might have texted me. And I check that text, and the next thing you know, I'm looking at YouTube. You know, the Dow Jones just went up 5%. I'm no longer present. I'm gone. And so it's hard for us to really feel like someone cares, to get the message of the hour by not being engaged. I want to tell you a quick story. I had that I'm in a training. It's about a 3.5-4 month long training. We had the second month kickoff the other day. Comes on my calendar. I hit receive. Yeah, I'm going to go to it. I hit accept, and it schedules me 11 in the morning until 7 in the evening. I'm like, man, that's going to be a fun training. We get there, next thing you know, here comes another one. Be there at 10:30 and have a sandwich. That must mean they're not planning on feeding us at 5. Get there, 11 o'clock, we go into this training. How many times do you think I doze off? Zero. We had one 10-minute break and two 5-minute breaks. in that 7 hours. We got out about 6:30. If you're focused, if you're engaged, the first time that I looked at my phone at one of the breaks, it was 3:30. I was like, wow, how'd that happen? It's all in how we approach it. If we approach church as, man, I hope this guy don't speak too long, that's exactly what you're going to get out of it. If you approach it as, gee, I hope something here tonight can change my life. Something here tonight can encourage me. Or maybe even better yet, something I could say could encourage somebody else. When you shake your brothers and sisters' hands, give them a hug, is it like me shaking Gage's hand and looking at the floor? Or do they truly feel you care about them? That you're concerned for them? Because you are. When you try and explain the gospel to someone, you explain it to them like you're talking about a movie you've seen 10 years ago and yeah, it was just kind of all right. Or are you passionate about it because you are passionate about it? Whew, I'm going to run out of time. Sorry. This was kind of Christ's answer to his disciples there when they said, who's going to ever be saved if that's the truth? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so again, I ask you the question, do you believe it? Do we truly believe that? You know, as Christians, oftentimes we find ourselves reciting scriptures that I'm not sure we believe. If I ask you if you believe it, sure I believe it. It's written there, I believe it. But do you put it to work in your life? Do you exercise it? Do you experience it? You know, I enjoy having Nathan around because he makes me think. He makes me to kind of come up a little bit. Years ago when he was just a little guy, I tell people that the Lord sent Nathan in my house to make me smile, because he could make me smile, because he's doing something silly or saying something silly or acting some way. And I also told people that the Lord sent him to my house so I'd relax for 5 minutes at a time instead of just full steam ahead all the time. But now, you know, he and I don't always see eye to eye, but he still makes me think, and that's a good thing. And hopefully I make him think. Hopefully we can lift each other up. And I hope that's the way it is with you and I. I don't have to agree with you. And probably don't agree with you on everything. And that's a good thing. Because otherwise we'd just be a bunch of drones. One of the most destructive things in a big corporation, a big business, where you got a CEO and a CFO and they're all sitting around the table with all their senior advisors and stuff, and the CEO gets up one meeting and says, you know what, I got a great idea. I know we sell tennis shoes, but we're going to paint our entire factory pink. I like pink. And everybody around the table goes, that'd be a great idea. And not one of them believe it. Okay, but because he's a CEO or CFO, we're all going to give it the head nod. We're not like that. We don't have to be like that. God has created us as individuals with different opinions, different ideas. And I hope that those different opinions and those different ideas help us grow. They challenge us. You know, sometimes I hear Gordon preach or Gordon say something, I'm like, man, I just don't remember the scripture saying that. So what's the challenge? I got to go dig it out of the scriptures. And of course, it does. It says that, you know, I just forgot it. But it challenges us to do better. I think that's all I'm going to say about being present. You know, if we can just be where we're at. And I know for young guys and young ladies and old guys, it's real easy to let our mind wander. If your mind's anything at all like mine, In 50 minutes of a guy speaking up here, I can cover 100 topics in my mind. I can think about things I've done and things I'm going to do. And of course, most of them have something to do with the outdoors or building. Distraction, self-justification. And just so you know, these are my words. There's nothing I've had a training or anything on. They're much nicer to us than that. It's easy to be distracted. And I'm not talking about just sitting in this room. In life, it's real easy to be distracted. Consumed. I've raised my hand a lot of times on, I get busy at work. I get a little busier at work. First thing you know, I get to work before the sun comes up. I leave work after the sun goes down. That's no good. There's nothing wrong with work. But when it consumes your every waking moment, your energy, it's no good. Who in here likes to play sports? I bet you some of these young men like to play sports. Old guys like to play sports too, huh, Adam? There's nothing wrong with playing sports. Good for you. But it can consume you. Watching sports can consume you. I see guys so involved in a sports team that it's like they were out there playing themselves and they never even been to the game, you know. They watch it on TV and they get so mad they throw something at the TV or yell at the wife or whatever, you know. Just consumed. And there's nothing wrong with sports, but it's got to be in measure. It's a distraction. I know I'm a little bit older than some of you and a little bit younger than others. But I've gotten to the point in my life that if I'm doing something, I want it to have some value. I've done a lot of studying in the last few years about value and value to our customers, because that's what I do in my work. But I try and apply that in my personal life, in my church life. In a value stream economy, a value stream business, the value has to be to the customer. Oftentimes we have a lot of customers. In this setting here, who's our customer? Who's the number one main customer? Gary? The Lord. That's right. The Lord's our main customer. He is what motivates us to do everything. Some more customers? They're sitting right out here. My family. Those around me. I want to bring value. If I'm looking at something on the computer, I hope it's enabling me to bring greater value to those around me. If I'm studying something in life, the gospel, a lesson I'm having to learn, something, somehow I can turn that to bring greater value to those around me. My time is my most important resource, and it's irreplaceable. We can't replace it. When that clock rolls around there for this hour, and those of you that are out there dreading, just wishing I would be done, that hour's gone. We can't recover it. So hopefully we leave here with a little speck of something that brings value to your life. Being distracted normally does not bring value. It subtracts, because we're doing that instead of something we should be doing that can bring a greater value. Self-justification, I'm tired of looking at, sorry. Self-justification, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? We're justifying what I'm doing. I can justify anything I want. But that doesn't mean the Lord's buying it. He has to be the ultimate standard setter, and that's one of our words, a standard, is the Lord. We have to, at the end of the day, answer to what is written, the commandments, the gospel. 3 Nephi 1, insomuch that they began to harden their hearts and blind their minds and begin to disbelieve all that which they had heard and seen. Imagine, this is about 100 AD. So this is, actually it might be a little more than that. I think it was 90 years after the Lord was here. But disbelieve all the things they had heard and seen, imagining up some vain thing in their heart that that it was wrought by man and not by the power of and by the power of the devil to lead away and deceive the hearts of the people. And thus did Satan get possession of the hearts of the people again, insomuch as they did blind their eyes and lead them away to believe that the doctrine of Christ was foolishness and vain thing. This is where this kind of thing is headed. When we start justifying ourselves, this is the path we're headed down. You know, my house, when I was, my kids were young, my sons were young, we didn't really watch television or movies, but sometimes we'd play a movie. You know, we had something called a VCR, and if there was one bad word, even a word that most people today don't consider to be a bad word, but one bad word, out it come in the trash can. Because we can't go down that road of self-justification. You can't do it. Because how much sin is okay? Is a little bit of sin all right? Is just a little bit of thought process, which is incorrect, all right? Is just a little bit of anger or hatred towards a brother or sister all right? No. Self-justification. And when we start justifying ourselves, it's out of the pride of our heart. And we're serving the wrong master. Look at that, some more flowers. I got carried away on the photos of the flowers. Next one, standard. Who sets the standard? I need some help on this one. Christ. Good, there we go. Got volunteer right in the front row here. Christ sets the standard. He sets the standard. He gives us instruction. Asher, can I ask you a question, buddy? Did I give you any instructions yesterday?
No.
Concerning a certain piece of equipment that makes loud noises?
A gun?
No, well, that's a piece of equipment too, but one that a chain goes around and around on?
A chainsaw.
My buddy over here, Asher, helped me cut up some wood yesterday, and he said, can I run the chainsaw? Sure, why not? Don't most 10-year-old kids run chainsaws? But you're not even 10, are you? So he got some instruction on how to run a chainsaw. I set the standard. We can't do this. You can't have your foot there. Trust me, I know from experience, you can't have your foot there. Be careful. Don't watch the end of it. You know, all these little instructions. Because I was setting the standard in that moment. And he was needing to heed that because he needed the instruction. He wanted to do it, but he needed the instruction. And I hope each of us are in that position here. That we want to serve the Lord. We want to find ways that we can serve him. Now we're not just sitting in our pew, filling our spot. Hopefully not dozing off when the boring preacher is preaching. But we're looking for ways to serve the Lord. And that's fine, but we got to look at his standard first. 3 Nephi 5, and it says, "Behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, and ye shall believe in me, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So it's pretty simple. It's pretty black and white. If you keep the commandments that the Lord has given us, that is in the right direction for salvation. If you don't, you don't enter into the kingdom. That simple. Who sets the standard? Who sets the standard for our dress? That's what I want to know. Can we look in the scriptures and support how we dress? Who sets the standard for the music we listen to? Can we look into Scripture and support the words, the language in the music we listen to? I don't know. I don't know what kind of music we listen to. I'm just asking you to ask a question. How about our language when we're with our buddies? Is our language something that the Lord would support? I hope so. He's the standard setter. You know? We go through our thought process when we allow our children to wear something that maybe the Lord wouldn't allow, wouldn't care for? I don't know. I'm not setting the standard for you. But I am asking you to look at the standard that the Lord has set. The things He says that He wants, He expects from His children. Got more flowers. There was a lot of flowers up there. They were very pretty too. Let's look here in John, the 14th chapter, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Yea, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And this is, the next one is, you know, it's important. I won't talk about it, but I want you to really listen to the next verse. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. This is a promise that the Lord was given us, that this relationship between Christ and us would be a mutual relationship. That He would come and manifest Himself unto us. Are you feeling a lacking of God's presence in your life? You got to look in the mirror. You can't look at the pastor. And look at the preacher. You have to look yourself in the mirror. Are you keeping the commandments? Are they first and foremost on your heart? Do you truly have a sincere love for the Lord? If He was sitting here, would you shake His hand? How? Like I shake Gage's hand? Nice to see you. Moving on. Or you would truly connect and engage with Him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man loveth me, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, in the first verse I read there in Psalms, it said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Do we have fears in our life? Are we afraid? I hope not. I hope not. We have no reason to be afraid. If the whole world and the whole country goes right down the tube tomorrow, we have no reason to be afraid. I know who I have believed in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which He hath committed against that day. Why would we be afraid? Perspective. This was a cute little fellow. He was no more afraid of us than nothing. It was like from here to the swing set away from us, standing there looking at us. Another one standing back behind him there. I love this kind of stuff, if you can't tell. Those little flowers I took a picture of, it was very interesting. Adam and I had walked out across that field, and the dew was heavy on the grass everywhere. And as we turned and walked back, you could see the kind of steam or fog, the moisture coming off the ground. And I didn't think, yeah, I looked at all the little flowers down there. I didn't think much of it. I thought, well, it's getting pretty cold. They're going to be gone. And probably a couple hours later, walked right back out across there again. I'm like, where'd all those flowers come from? We walked out across there with the dew on the ground. Every one of them was just tight, about that big round, just tiny. We come back, and of course, they weren't real big around, but they were open and just beautiful. When that sun got out there on them, they just all blossomed out. And, you know, and of course, when the night come, they closed back up. It made me think as I was looking at that, there's a lot of perspective to be had in how I look. Not how I look. Look, I don't look very good, I know. Getting gray and wrinkles, and it's just, it happens. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. But when the light of the Master, when the light of God through our Savior Jesus Christ shines upon us, we open up. We're desirable for the people around us. We can be seen as a child of God. But without His light, without the presence, we're nothing. Well, I might be smart, I might be do math, I might be do my job all right, but we're not being productive. We're not delivering that value to the Savior. We're not delivering that value to those around us if the light of Christ is not in us. We're like these flowers, close up. But when the light of Christ is upon us, we have beauty, we have value, because we can reflect that light. I just like this picture. I thought I could think of something profound to say about it besides just really pretty. It's really pretty. There's not a time I go to the woods or to the desert or to anywhere else the Lord has created that I can't see His hand at work. Beauty in it. I got up a few weeks ago up by Ash Fork. I don't know if you guys know where that is. I-40 out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm standing out there and the grass is dead. A few ugly looking little cactuses out there, and I'm thinking, this is not very pretty. It's not very pretty at all. Well, I spent the next 4 or 5 days wandering around it by the mile, Nathan and I did, and looking for the ever elusive antelope. And you know what? There was a lot of pretty places in there. You come up in a little canyon, and oh, there's some trees and some grass. And, oh, the sun would shine on those mountains, really pretty. And I took a picture one morning of the sunrise, and you just got to open your eyes. You just got to open your eyes. Everywhere we go, and people and places around us, we can see God's hand at work and His beauty magnified on us and in us if we allow Him to. Thank you.